Blog Talk Radio.
And that's my cue. Welcome, everyone. You are listening to This Week in Health Innovation on the Blog Talk Radio Network. I'm Greg Masters, known to some on Twitter as Two Health Guru, the producer and co-host of this broadcast. And joining me today, as always, is my partner and co-host, Dr. Pat Salber, a.k.a. Doc Weighs In on Twitter. Pat, are you with us?
I am.
Oh, we're so happy you are, and we're going to get right to it. I'm super stoked, as I tweeted, and that's not just a West Coast expression anymore. It seems to be more broadly adopted, and it means I'm pumped. This Week in Health Innovation is brought to you by healthinnovationmedia.com. Do check us out on the web as we follow the emerging digital health ecosystem from idea to business model. And today we have another superb installment in our interview series with CEOs, founders, or principals of innovative healthcare startups in the form of Peter Hudson, MD, CEO, and Wayne Guerra, MD, CMO, and co-founders, respectively, of iTriage, and perhaps progenitors of a very cool brand known as Healthogen, and more about that later. According to published copy, iTriage empowers consumers with control and convenience to effectively manage their personal health care and improve health care delivery for providers and payers. While Healthogen is the leader in health care innovation, its portfolio of growing and innovative businesses is delivering a number of technologies and services that are transforming health care today. So before I kick it over to Pat, Peter and Wayne, let me offer this opening for our chat today. At last year's ACO Congress, on a panel of health plan executives discussing hospital-centric ACOs and the need for health plans to reinvent themselves, your colleague, Dr. Chuck Saunders, made the following observation. Quote, health plans need to fundamentally redefine their value propositions in the marketplace by what appears to be two strategy pillars. One is aligning and enabling the assumption of risk and accountability by providers, and two, empowering an engaged consumer to actively participate in their care and wellness. So from where you sit, perhaps a year later, at this point in time, how is iTriage participating in the co-creation of this ambitious emerging ecosystem? So with that, Pat, over to you. Help us get to know Peter and Wayne.
Great. Well, this is Pete. Well, first of all, Chuck is a really, really smart guy, so I agree with just about everything he says. And then second, you know, we serve both of those areas, one with our core focus, which is helping the consumer understand, navigate, connect, and communicate to the healthcare system efficiently. And the second is empowering ACOs to deliver those kinds of solutions for their members, in their specific geographies. So I think those are both very exciting trends, and we're on the precipice of really seeing healthcare convert to a much more consumer-facing industry where consumers have choice and are part of, a partnership with the delivery system in managing their health.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Peter. It's all about making sure that we build a solution and continue to build solutions that sort of benefit the entire kind of value network. So we call them the three Ps, but for sure the patient first, because we're consumer focused. But the tools that we build also have to benefit the provider and the payer, those are the types of solutions that are going to help the healthcare system actually change and, reach the triple aim, which is what we're all trying to do.
Well, that's great. So this is Pat, and I have a question as I listen to the answers, the question that was posed and the answers that you gave. Is Aetna trying to become Kaiser?
Well, first of all, I don't think we're qualified to speak for Aetna. I think Aetna, like you know, any organization that sees a transition in the marketplace to one that's focusing more on value, and to, you know, as a business that you know, has great customers and, you know, millions of members who rely on, you know, some of the technology that they provide to help navigate both connecting the healthcare system, but the financial ramifications of that. You know, ignoring the consumer would just not make a lot of sense. And focusing on the consumer, you know, our acquisition being a great example of that, I think is you know, a great strategic move. And certainly we've had, you know, a fantastic relationship working with the team at Aetna, the teams at Healthogen, and everybody that's really trying to innovate in this space.
And so let's talk a little bit about iTriage then. Are you running this as a Aetna subsidiary, as something that's independent? Is this a white label play? How exactly does the relationship between iTriage and Aetna work?
Well, we're a wholly owned subsidiary of Aetna. We are running iTriage as an independent brand that works with provider customers, ACOs, other health plans, employers, as well as, you know, millions of consumers, and really focusing on how do consumers view the workflow that they need to go through to actually get health care, and to get health care in a more cost-effective, efficient, and higher quality way. And, you know, for a lot of healthcare consumers, navigating the system is like, you know, walking into a grocery store starving and there's no labels on any of the food and you've never seen a recipe. And when you get to the cash register with a bunch of items, you don't know the price. So there's so many different things that we can work toward to try to bring transparency and, you know, better, more efficient, higher quality, and lower cost access for healthcare consumers.
Can you bring this alive to the listeners by giving us a couple of examples? How exactly does this work? And maybe an example, because I believe this came out of your experiences as emergency physicians. I'm an emergency physician too. Interestingly, Chuck and I were emergency physicians together years ago. If you could give us some examples of what the problem was that you tried to solve for, you know, a hypothetical or a real patient, and exactly how your tool helps to solve that problem, I think that would be very helpful.
Yeah, I mean, this is Wayne, Wayne's voice, but I'm glad to see that you're part of the ER mafia, as Pete calls it. There's a lot of ER physicians that are involved in different business aspects of medicine, so it's good to see that as well. But Pete and I have worked together over 20 years and actually have seen, you know, 50,000 patients and taken care of them. And it was just through those experiences, you know, watching them struggle, watching them not have the information, just as Pete alluded to with the grocery store example, not having the information they needed to make the most basic decisions for their own health, you know, not even knowing if they were in the right type of facility. In, you know, the late 90s, early 2000s, it didn't matter as much if you had a copay that was only $150 for an emergency department, you know, versus $50 for, you know, the urgent care clinic. That wasn't a big differentiator. But as consumer-driven healthcare plans became more popular in the mid to late 2000s, we began to see more and more people actually ask us, you know, after I'd finished taking care of them, you know, they'd ask us if they could have been seen in an urgent care clinic, if they could have gone into an urgent care clinic. You know, the flip side of that, we'd also see people, you know, inappropriately triaging themselves to urgent care clinics with serious problems, you know, heart attacks, strokes, bowel obstructions, appendicitis, and you know, they delay in care and increase in cost. So we saw a need for the information to be at their time of need. So, you know, a website wasn't really going to help them. So we've always been mobile first. So, you know, people can actually now, you know, click on the avatar and click on the area of the chest and see, you know, what's the most common symptom a list of common symptoms, click on cough, and then use our multi-symptom processor, put in their age, what male or female, and then actually select a couple other symptoms they may or may not have to help them sort of organize their thoughts around that symptom, and then what could it possibly be, and then where could I go? So, the first two questions we were trying to ask was, what could be wrong and where could I go? And now we're adding a more personalized experience by when we can get health plan information, am I covered, right? So I think that's sort of closing that loop. And we'll continue to work on what we call that, symptom to provider pathway and make it a better and better experience. Pete says that, I like this, he says that, we're betting on human nature, that if you give people the information they need, they're going to make the right decisions. That they need to make those decisions. They're actually going to make those decisions. So we're seeing that out. We're seeing that play out. So it's pretty exciting.
And Wayne or Peter, tell me a little bit about the algorithm or whatever the back end is of your symptom checker. Is that something you built yourself, or did you partner with an AI company? Exactly how did you go about confirming that if I put in my symptoms, your algorithm or your tool will point me in the right place?
Yeah, so we did build it ourselves. There wasn't, a tool out there we could easily just reuse. And a lot of the symptom checkers out there that we looked at were actually leaving out pretty serious conditions and pretty serious. And some of the follow-up questions didn't actually seem to relate and wasn't changing the list, the condition list. It was false for the user, right? And you'd only know that if you were, a physician diving into it in detail. So what we did is we took, we've had a great partnership with the federal government around the Open Data Initiative, and we just continued that. And we took CDC biosurveillance data, which represents millions and millions of visits, and you get probabilities of symptoms related to disease for certain ages. And then we took the prevalence of disease and used some Bayesian statistics to produce a list of possible, the most common conditions for that age group, sex, and those list of conditions. And then obviously did, many hours of quality assurance with, our medical advisory board and internal medical team. So it's definitely proprietary. We think it's one of the better symptom checkers out there. But again, nothing can replace a doctor in diagnosing it. It's, as you know, because you're a treating physician yourself, it's sometimes even when you have a CAT scan, MRI, and a whole barrage of lab tests, you can't figure out what someone has. So it certainly doesn't replace that. But it does help people, as I mentioned earlier, sort of, how do they think about their symptom and organize their thoughts around the symptoms, because it can be quite confusing.
And have you validated the tool? Have you subjected the tool to any clinical trials or other independent look at whether, what the accuracy is, the triage accuracy?
Yeah, so we haven't actually, tested it yet in that sense, like with a longitudinal search of, an individual user coming in and what were they actually diagnosed, but we're looking into methodologies for doing that.
Yeah, the product's freely available, so, the product's available. It's been downloaded over 10 million times and is now used over 80 million times a year by people. So, people are certainly welcome to, test things and use it and provide their experiences. And so we've had, I think, 90,000 written reviews come back from people, and we have a 4.5 out of 5-star rating. And so we've gotten, that's not a designed, double-blinded study. That's a good amount of utilization and feedback, and the feedback loops are so easy for people to provide. We've been very iterative in terms of how we've designed product and added content and enhanced the experience for people.
Yeah, it sounds like it's actually like a phase 4 trial. You've thrown it out there to the masses, and and you haven't gotten feedback that, hey, you know, you're triaging my heart attack to the urgent care clinic or my cold and sore throat to the ER. What other tools do you have?
I think the key part is we never do that. So we only give you referential information on a relationship to symptoms, to conditions, information about conditions, what kinds of facilities or physicians generally treat those conditions. And then the navigation part of it is up to the patient. You know, when you're sick, you're gonna make a decision either to stay home, talk to somebody, or go somewhere anyway. So, you know, I think we're sort of a useful adjunct to that process.
Oh, so now I'm going to ask you a slightly different question. Given what you just said, is it your and your company's interpretation that this isn't the kind of app that would need FDA regulation or would meet the criteria for regulation? You're not actually diagnosing. Have you talked about that in the company?
I think the regulations just came out, and at least the guidance we've gotten is that we're a referential tool, which is similar to, you know, textbooks or other patient reference tools. You know, it's always been our focus that we provide referential information, not diagnostic information, and we provide a provider directory so that people can, you know, find healthcare when they need it quickly.
And what other kinds of tools are you coming up with? I just happened to see on the Internet this morning a paper published in the Annals of Emergency Medicine using text messaging to follow up on with diabetic patients and how it improved adherence. Are you all adding tools beyond the symptom checker and hooking people up with or helping people to figure out what the right facility is? Do you think you'll get into, you know, any of this more clinical aspect?
Yeah, I mean, we're building a tool that we're calling right now the Clinical Inbox, which is a secure messaging tool that allows any iTriage user to connect with a provider through a Trust Bundle HISP, whether that's a HIE or a EHR. Our practice management system. So that'll be coming out in the first quarter of next year. It leverages the Direct project, so it's a ONC standard and reusable and scalable. And we did that because just as we saw people struggle in their acute care needs, we're seeing them struggle with patient portals. You know, if I have three different doctors and they're on three different portals, if I want to communicate with them, I got to log in three different times. So that's not a good experience. So, if we can, using these trust bundles in the Direct project, potentially could be the agnostic aggregator for secure messaging into whatever practice management system or electronic health record the physician's using. So that's something that's really, really exciting that is sort of different and an adjunct to this whole section of iTriage that we built called MyiTriage, which helps people manage their health and, keep track of their conditions, their medications, their procedures, and their providers. So that's an adjunct to that, and we're seeing a lot more use in that area on the application.
That's really interesting. So when you talk about the trust bundles, it brings to mind the Blue Button Project. Is that what you're talking about? Are you guys aiming to be a Blue Button player, or is this something different?
Yeah, I think we will. I think that'll certainly be, a natural extension of what we're already building because it's they're using a lot of the same standards. So, yeah, I think that's just a natural extension of that.
And so tell me a little bit about Healthogen. My understanding is that actually was the name of your company. Is that right? The Aetna Healthogen that we know is kind of this emerging business unit adopted you and adopted your company's name. Do I have that right?
Yeah, you do it. Yeah, it was a surprise to us. We were acquired and then really sort of focused on the iTriage brand, and we had this great name, Healthogen, and, Healthogen seemed to provide the right kind of you know, brand message for a technology company that was providing, you know, insurance products and HIE products and you know, active health care management type products. So, they adopted our name, which we thought was pretty cool. So, I think it's worked out well for everybody.
Yeah, you can be kind of proud parents of that. And I'm really familiar with Active Health because I have known Lonnie Reisman since before he founded the company and watched it grow from, you know, a really good idea to this huge and important tool that's used not just by Aetna but by other health plans as well. How does iTriage interface with, I guess, your sister subsidiaries, Active Health and MediCity? Are there linkages, and are you also linked with the Aetna subsidiary that's focused on providing services to ACOs?
Yeah, so, Lonnie's also one of those super brilliant doctor business guys, so, you know, we're lucky to have people like Lonnie and Chuck as mentors and part of the organization.
Yeah, cardiologist, though, not an emergency physician.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't get that badge of honor as being the ER doc turned business person, but we'll still let him in the club. So we're doing a lot of stuff with ACOs. We're in a bunch of different ACOs that the ACS team has partnered and rolled out, and we're providing narrow network solutions, physician listing information, as well as appointment integration and ER and urgent care check-in capabilities. So really kind of wiring that access network for an ACO. With Active Health, I think we're starting to look at some ways where, and potentially the clinical inbox could work here, where we can receive some messaging, you know, to a very specific person based on their profile or their, you know, their health record and their needs. But I think we've mostly focused on ACS opportunities because they have a lot of them going on and a lot of growth there. And then we're also doing some interesting work that we'll announce soon with Medicity.
Yeah, that's great. And so I want to switch gears here a little bit and talk about health reform and what's been going on. I know this isn't exactly your area, but you have an interesting vantage point to look over kind of the activities of the last, month and a half since healthcare.gov rolled out. Any thoughts about how health reform will impact HealthAgen and iTriage, and conversely, are there ways in which your companies can help to ensure, to some degree, the success of this reform?
Well, I think it's
that's a complex
question.
So I'm going to let Wayne answer.
I'll only answer a piece of it. Actually, as we mentioned earlier, you know, if you don't involve the consumer, you know, the patient actually making those decisions and can't engage them, they're not going to make, you know, the decisions that actually are best for them and best for the, you know, the overall system. So it's providing, you know, the consumer tools to be able to choose, you know, the best healthcare for them. And many times the best is actually less expensive because, you know, we all know that, you know, less is sometimes more. You know, you might not need the additional test that the doctor is recommending, or you at least might want to ask that question. You know, it's been shown over and over and over again that when you increase the health literacy of the population that you're taking care of, so managing that population, the costs go down for people that are more engaged and understand their conditions and medications and procedures. Overall costs go down, you know, 8% over overall population, and up to 21% for certain subsegments of the population, like people with asthma. So if you know, the goal is to get people to be healthier, better patient experience, you know, and higher quality, then I think iTriage is well positioned there to be able to deliver that. So I think, you know, a lot of the tenets that we started out with will continue to be important and even more important as health care reform continues to be implemented.
Yeah, our number one focus is helping to help patients navigate the system, have better outcomes, have lower cost, and as they start to take on more deductible and high-risk deductible health plans, that matters a lot to them. But they need to make sure that they're not making a decision just based on cost. They're making it based on need, which, again, plays into that whole clinical information resource, as well as, you know, finding high-quality providers. So, you know, I think this entire, you know, shift with, you know, the Accountable Care Act as being sort of the most visible part of it, but we're seeing it every day in our clients and within our own organizations as well. The entire thing is all about helping to get patients more plugged in the system, covered for their care, and finding the best high-quality, low-cost care. And that lines up exactly with our mission. So I think there'll be more and more opportunities for things that we can do.
Well, that's fantastic. And we're nearing kind of the end of our half hour together. It went really quickly. And I thought that I would close by asking each of you to just say a few words about how exactly, I always love to talk to entrepreneurs and ask them, how exactly did you go from what you were doing before to ending up now with a big company that's a part of it? Gigantic company. What was your journey, Peter first, and then Wayne?
Oh, for me, it might take me a little while to describe the whole journey. But I think, you know, in general, I really this is something that I felt like I couldn't not do. Like I just felt like as soon as the mobile phone came out, and having seen this problem for year after year, and being interested in it, I just couldn't not do something about it. And so for me, becoming an entrepreneur is always about something I'm passionate about trying to fix, some problem that irritates me or bothers me or that I feel is significant enough that it's worth taking the risk to try to fix it. And, you know, fortunately, this ended up going well. And, you know, well being, by my definition, we're impacting millions of people and making a difference in what we do.
Yeah, and I think for us, a major tenet and for me is to always putting the consumer first. You can imagine as when we first started out, when we first started aggregating users, there were a lot of other entities that wanted to come in and provide information to those people that were accessing the iTriage content. But Peter and I have always been dedicated and just absolutely determined to never in any way, you know, disadvantage a user or consumer and provide tools that help them make better decisions. And we knew that the rest of the business model and the rest of how we bring value to the system, the ecosystem, the larger healthcare ecosystem, would follow naturally if we took care of the consumer. So, you know, that's been just a tenet throughout the entire path of iTriage, and it's our gut check every day when we build new tools or go down another path. So that's how I'd add to that.
So it's interesting. I'm going to close with an observation that there's three physicians in this conversation, and I don't think I heard the word patient. We're all using the word consumer as opposed to patients. But in actual fact, what you've done is to build a very powerful tool for the people that we care for, and in some cases to actually let the people that we care for know that it's not about your services, that your services may be too intense for their needs, and to provide them with something that would allow them to be triaged away. So pretty interesting concept. Well, I really want to thank you both for taking time out to be with us, and I want to congratulate you on building an amazing company and for having an affiliation with HealthAgen and its parent, Aetna.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
And that'll have to be the last word. I, too, want to thank both Peter and Wayne for their time today. Two disruptors of the legacy healthcare economy. You would not know it by listening to their low-key disposition. It must be that front range vibe and all that Rocky Mountain skiing they get done up there. So I want to thank Dr. Peter Hudson, Dr. Wayne Guerra for their time today on This Week in Health Innovation. We do this weekly at 10 a.m. Pacific Time. And this is Greg Masters saying thank you, and until next time, bye now.